Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from christministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program 65. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free either way, including the postage and handling.
God bless everybody out there, and He's blessing people many different ways through different programs on television and different radio programs. And God stated that He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh in these last days. And the way He does that is through His Spirit, the Word of God, the preachers, His men and women preachers and teachers that are teaching the Word of God. So right now, the Spirit of God is going to be pouring out on you. And without any further ado, we want to get into part five of the Antichrist government in our country here, posing to be the United States government workers and so on and so forth. So right now, let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint part five of the Vatican government in our government, trying to make some of us believe that they're the United States government. Never happened with me, and I know a lot of other people don't believe that this is the U.S. government. I'm a real patriotic person, and I don't like phonies coming in here and saying that they're U.S. government. They're actually Roman Catholic Nazis. They had a dress rehearsal of this sort of thing back in Germany, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, and that was just a dress rehearsal. Now they're going through the real thing. This is the big hog. But right now, Father, we ask that you anoint this service, pour out your Holy Spirit upon it with your anointing for the ministry. Open up spiritual ears and eyes to hear and see the truth of your word and how close it is to the very end of time, and that it's not natural disasters that are happening on the earth today, but they're supernatural disasters, things that you promised that would happen here in the last days just before you come back to earth again. All the signs and the seasons are in place, and us Jews preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Lord, we thank and praise your holy name that you've shown these things unto us. And we ask, Lord, that by opening the eyes, spiritual eyes of everyone out there and opening their spiritual ears, that they'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. Your word is spirit and it is life. And Father God, we just ask that you give them that life. Make the church stronger, the body of Christ stronger here on earth, and save billions of souls, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's get into part five of the Antichrist government, who is trying to tell us that they're the U.S. government, and I ain't going for it, folks. Maybe you have. Maybe they deceived you because the Bible says that the whole world would be deceived. But I'm not, because I have the mind of Christ. I put on the whole Word of God in my mind. And that's the way I think. And anyone that doesn't think that way, I can't stand them. You know, so if you want me to stand you, then read the Bible and do what it says. Because if I can't stand you, it's for sure the Lord won't. Okay?
Amen.
And if the Lord can't stand you, either can I, because I love the Lord and I love the way He thinks. His words are perfect. And they're true. They're absolutely true. Okay, go ahead.
God said in the last days through the prophet Joel, and reiterated it through Peter in the New Testament, that he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, that his servants and handmaids would prophesy. People refuse to believe that God pours out his Spirit through his servants and handmaids through preaching.
His Spirit is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So when we're preaching the Word of God, that's his Spirit being poured out on you. And so don't reject the Spirit of God, the Word of God. He said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit, God's spirit, and God's life. So when you receive the actual spirit, God's spirit, through his word, which is the spirit and life, then you're receiving God's life into you, immortal life. But if you reject his spirit, his life, well, then there's no place for you in heaven. And there's only one other place to go, and that's hell and the lake of fire. Death and hell shall be thrown into the lake of fire, and the people there will be weeping, wailing, gnashing on their teeth, chewing on their tongues for the pain, and it never ends forever. Now you think you can be wise in your own conceit? Don't lean unto your own understanding or the understanding of some trollop on television that's telling you anything that's contrary to the Word of God, because if anyone preaches any other gospel than what is in the Bible, let them be accursed, the Apostle Paul said. And then he reiterates it again just a few verses later, saying, if anyone preaches any other doctrine to you other than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. Amen?
Amen.
Accursed. And if you're accursed, then cursed will be the fruit of your body. That's why you see so many people that are deformed and so many freaks, because it's a curse unto them. You know that the people that have had these problems where their children are cursed, you know that there is something wrong with their lives. And you say, well, God is cruel. No, you're cruel because you don't obey the Lord's word. And if you did, souls would be saved. And you don't consider that at all to be of any value, that a person can escape hell by believing the Word of God, can escape the lake of fire by believing the Word of God and passing it on to everybody else. The Lord has created every human being that's alive and has ever lived before, and He wants them saved. And they get saved by the preaching of the Word. It pleases God that the world be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And if you think it's foolish, well, then you're a fool. Okay, then what?
But this is how the Spirit of God is being poured out upon all flesh. This is where we left off in yesterday's message.
Right, so the Lord's Spirit is being poured out on all the men and women in the world by the people, us people, those of us that are saved, those of us that have been called and chosen by the Lord to preach the gospel to you. And the Spirit is now, if you're listening to this broadcast, is being poured out on you right now. So don't reject the Spirit, okay? Go ahead.
Prophets are always witnesses for God by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are more than justified by faith in Christ Jesus to enter heaven and to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Also, by faith, we have access to the power or grace of God. And by God in Christ living in us, we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The two witnesses mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation are called prophets because of what they do. They witness or prophesy for God. The deceived world hates them for this and rejoice at the prophets' deaths by sending presents to each other. Again, the prophet's work is to prophesy. They always prophesy the will and the purpose of God. They are His ambassadors, and God speaks through their mouths. This is truly what a prophet is. We see in the Word of God that when Aaron became a prophet for Moses, he was the example for all the future prophets. This was because he acted as a spokesman of God for Moses. We are to be both spokesmen and mouthpieces for God. Therefore, we become instruments or agents through which God utters His will and His purpose to man. He, through the mouths of the prophets, utters whatever He desires to tell man. The work of a prophet is to let God prophesy through him. God has always had prophets on earth. The entire church of Christ, His body, His bride, is a witness or prophet for God.
Now, I'm not talking about the church that calls themselves the church of Christ, that doesn't believe in gospel music and they don't believe in the blood of Jesus. They believe that you're saved by the water baptism. But the only way you can get saved is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And then after that, you get baptized in water. So what they call the Church of Christ, that is really not the Church of Christ, I call a bloodless cult. They don't believe in the blood of Jesus, and they don't believe in rejoicing in the Spirit and rejoicing in the Lord. To be so happy that you're in the Spirit and that you have the power of God in you to keep the commandments, that in itself is such a wonderful thing to rejoice about. The body of Christ, the born-again, Spirit-filled Christians that believe the whole Word of God, that is the very Church of God or Christ. Okay, then what?
The Word of God comes forth to the world, to the sons of men, both in and through the Church, the body of Christ. The booming sound of God's voice and God's purpose rings into the ears of mankind through the mouths of the prophets. The voice of God through his church is also carried to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, because God instructs even the angels in heaven by or through his church here on earth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10.
Not the angels. Look into the things that we're doing here on earth. They're amazed at what God is doing in and through us, because Christ in us is quite amazing. Amen?
Amen.
He just amazes people. And people get so jealous. They say, well, you know, you must think you're real hot because you have all the answers. And I say, well, I do have all the answers, but it's him in me. God gave me this gift, and so I don't glory in that I have a gift because it was given to me. Okay, it's something that I didn't have before, and then the Lord gave it to me, and now I have it. So I give all the thanks and the glory and the honor to the Lord, not to anything, to myself at all. A lot of supposed-to-be ministers, they walk around all puffed up. One of them is on the airplane, and they grabbed this poor steward up there and says, hang my robes up. Don't you know who I am? And the guy got very scared of him. Do you remember who that was? Robert Schuller, yeah. Oh, we know who you are. You're part of the Catholic cult, Mr. Schuller. Yeah, we know who you are. You're a big shot, but you're an old man. You've got one foot in the grave and the other one in the funeral parlor. You better shape up, my friend, and don't be exalting the Antichrist any longer. And this big tower of glass that you built, God's going to knock that thing to shivers one of these days. And I pray that the people that congregate there won't be in the building when it happens. I pray that you repent and get out of there before it's too late. Then what?
When the voice of God is speaking through members of the body of Christ, God's church here on earth, even the angels in heaven know they must listen. Every genuine member of the body of Christ is a confessor of the true God, one in whose confession the will and purpose of God in Christ Jesus is both testified and prophesied of. This means every genuine Christian is a real prophet that God continuously speaks through. Every genuine Christian is a true career Christian. They are Christian confessors who prophesy against the wickedness of the world, who prophesy on the necessity of godliness, and who prophesy on the way to salvation in Christ, which is Christ living and working both in us and through us by faith. Some people take issue with the fact that God, Jesus, myself, and other saints of God make known the wickedness of the world that needs reproving. Those who say such things are not members of God's church. They are not prophets. They are either those who need to be saved and will be saved, or those who will surely be destroyed, those who will be rejected by God, then cast into hell for eternity in the lake of fire. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 states, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The job of the church, the prophets of the Lord, is to obediently make manifest the wickedness of the world, the necessity of godliness, and the way to salvation in Christ, which is God in Christ by the Spirit living and working both in and through us. If I and other witnesses of God, by the light that God has given us, let you fellow humans know where wickedness is, who the devil is using, and what the devil is up to, you have more light than you did before God's light through us manifested it to you. How could we reprove and rebuke all the things in the world that need to be reproved and rebuked if they were not made known to us by Christ, the light?
Or how could we reveal them unto you if we were part of the world? We are commanded by the Lord not to be part of the world. We're in the world, but we are here to reprove and rebuke the deeds of the things of the world and to show you the true light. And I'm sure it sounds very harsh to you. It did to me at first, but now I know that it's actually the truth. The enemy of our souls is desperately doing everything it can to cause you to think that the things that are being said are not the truth. As a matter of fact, every major move that the Lord has ever made with this church, there was always a fierce attack on the church, which would make a person to believe that this is really not a move or an open door from the Lord. But because of the fact that it is an open door, don't think that because you're getting a lot of oppression or a lot of resistance from some source or another that it's not a move of the Lord, because in every case, in this church that God was making a big move, there was tremendous resistance. As a matter of fact, God is moving in such a powerful way now, and he tried to make me believe that this wasn't true by the devil oppressing me to the point by sending me to prison for 4 years when my little boy was just growing up, and sent me there in prison for the gospel's sake. They made up a false thing that I was not obedient with taxes. First they said that I was a homosexual. Now they're saying that I'm a pervert, that I've got hundreds of wives. And, I mean, just anything they can say to stop you people from believing the message that I'm bringing to you. Then they said I wanted to hang a federal judge. No, I don't want to hang him. I'm trying to win people's souls, not hang him. Okay? So how many other things did they do? They make you look like you're worse than Adolf Hitler. And when they themselves are the ones that are bombing places all over the world and killing innocent children and folks, and they killed the Christians over there at Waco, and they blow up their own federal building in the World Trade Center, and they say that I'm the pervert? Hey, you know, wake up, you people out there. They've been burning people at the stake for years because they don't believe in this satanic Catholic cult. They're the cult. They're the most dangerous cult in the world. They believe in killing you if you don't believe in Roman Catholicism, if you don't become part of the one world cult. And eventually they're going to make people take a mark on their forehead or on their right hand to buy or sell. That's what all this identity thievery is going on. They're saying, well, the only way we can beat that now is to put a mark on our heads. That way no one can lie about who they are. We'll just wave a wand on their head and then, oh, that's you. Okay, yeah, or on your hand. They put a little microchip in there. And that's coming to it. And the Lord says, if you take that mark, if you take that microchip or whatever they're going to put on you, that there's no possible way that you can enter the kingdom of God, that you will surely spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Because this is the very same thing the Bible says is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So don't ever take that mark. God provided food for the children of Israel for 40 years. He had manna grew up on the ground. He'll take care of you if you'll make that kind of a stand. All right? Go ahead.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. The original Greek says it like this, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13.
That's what I'm doing, is making the world condition visible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God visible to you so that you can know how to think. You're not to think any other way than the Lord thinks if you want to go to heaven and stay out of hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. They love to hide evil in those who are wickedly doing evil, rather than making them visible, as God's word commands, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. He stated that his children are the lights of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar in this context means a people belonging especially or exclusively to God and to no one else. That they should show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. If we as Christians refuse to point out who the devil is using and where he is in this world, then we are not manifesting the light upon that darkness. Therefore, we are deliberately disobeying God, which is sin. And we are allowing Satan to have an advantage over ourselves, our brothers, our sisters, and all our fellow humans in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We are to love our brethren, and are even commanded to love our enemies. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. How could we love our brethren and our enemies if we leave them in darkness by not exposing what darkness is by the light? If we don't expose the darkness to the light, they who are in darkness will remain there, and at the end of the world they will be lost. Then the blood of their souls will be on our hands because we didn't warn them. The light of God's word through his prophets exposes darkness. In this way, they take vengeance upon the spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The light of God's word pulls down darkness, pulls down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Paul by the Spirit stated, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" That is, we shall judge the world by God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. These words are his judgments, not ours. His word is our life, our light, and the light of the world. Unfortunately for the people of the world, they love darkness rather than light and life, which could save their souls if they would only receive it. The psalmist David said the same thing in these words, "Let the saints be joyful in glory." They glory because God is using them as his mouthpiece to exterminate with his word the darkness which is in this world. "Let them sing aloud upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth to prophesy, to expose that which is dark to the light of God, and a two-edged sword in their hand, which again is the spirit of the word of God, to execute, preach vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute, preach the judgment written, dishonor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord." Psalms chapter 149, verses 5 through 9. Responsibility. When anyone hears the word of God, it becomes known unto them. Therefore they know it just like we do, even though they have not accepted it, and of course have not experienced the reality of it. God's word assures us they are guilty of rejecting him who is the word. Their will, which is located in their soul, is responsible for their rejection of God, the word. It is their will, it is their decision, and they shall be judged as members of wickedness on the day of judgment. It is their own fault that their souls will have to spend eternity in hell, then the lake of fire, because they willed it to be that way in their souls while they lived here on earth. If they had not heard, they would not be guilty, because where no law is, there is no transgression. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Romans chapter 10, verse 18. Shocking truth. God stated through his prophet Joel in the latter days, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Joel chapter 2 verse 28. The spirit of God through preaching is now being poured out upon all flesh, meaning every person. When God pours out his word through the Holy Spirit, speaking through the mouths of his ministers, people hear the reality of God through his Son, Christ Jesus, who with the Father is living out his life in other human bodies, bodies which are generated, consecrated, and obedient to him. He has become a quickening spirit or a life-giving spirit to us. Many have been resurrected with Christ into the new heavenly divine realm of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay, I see that our time is up. Make sure that you tune in tomorrow. Praise the Lord, and hey, get right with the Lord right away. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit, "Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me more than a conqueror in you. And Lord, I will read your word and I will keep your word. But I know that you won't turn me away because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved." Just praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of Program 65.
Go to alamoministries.com, email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com, or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying praise the Lord. Tomorrow will be part 6 of the Antichrist government that's moved into the United States, real good government, and are posing now. These are Vaticanites, Roman Catholic government agents that are posing as United States government agents. U.S. agents would never have burned up little children or would never have blown up the federal building in Oklahoma City, nor would they have sent rockets into the World Trade Center. And that's exactly what they were rockets. Okay, so until tomorrow, part 6, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying praise the Lord and God bless you.
This is myself now singing Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, and I believe it's with the stamps as well.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down, God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, when the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until, well, until his work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the men of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go, blow, and ram, oh, Joshua cried, don't the battle and be burned. God knows that Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, they tell me that young the Joshua spear was a well-nigh 12 feet long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave he stood, salvation in his hand. Go broke and ran home, Joshua threatened, cause the devil can't do you no harm. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Roll, blow, then ran home, Joshua cut, cause the battle can't do you no harm. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns begin to blow, the trumpets begin to sound. Then Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls came tumbling down. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.